terrestrial interference somehow masquerading as a deep space signal? Or, hope against hope, a hello beamed across the dark and frigid depths by E.T.? "I don't think it can ever be determined," Amon said. "I'm frustrated that I can't draw any further conclusions than I already have." Though the WOW signal remains a cosmic unicorn, a lot has changed since its detection 4 decades ago. Back then, the only planets astronomers knew about circled the sun. Scientists generally thought that life was as soft as a trust fund kid, restricted to a narrow range of temperatures, pressures, and pH. Now, we know that the universe harbors more planets than stars, and huge numbers of these alien worlds probably look a lot like ours. But even if we never found an Earth twin, that wouldn't necessarily mean we're alone in the universe. Microbiologists have discovered that many of our planet's smallest inhabitants are unbelievably tough, scratching out a living in boiling hot mud pots, frigid pools buried beneath Antarctic ice, and soda lakes so alkaline they'd eat the skin off a flamingo's legs. The possible abodes for life are nearly endless. The search for E.T. has moved from the sci-fi fringes into the mainstream and onto the front pages of newspapers around the world. Scientists are looking hard now, and their efforts are about to ramp up as a new generation of powerful telescopes, both on the ground and in space, is about to come online. Excitement and optimism are in the air. "I think it'd be the biggest surprise if we don't find something," said Lisa Kaltenegger, an associate professor of astronomy at Cornell and director of the university's Carl Sagan Institute. Kaltenegger is focused primarily on finding biosignatures in the atmospheres of alien worlds. Generally speaking, evidence of simple life, such as microbes. But Amon is just as bullish on intelligent aliens. "I'm convinced that there are probably millions or billions of extraterrestrial civilizations, if we include all of the galaxies in the universe," he said. As the search for E.T. heats up, so too does the push to expand humanity's footprint out into the solar system. NASA is planning to return astronauts to the moon and then get them to Mars. The European Space Agency is really excited about setting up an international moon village. But much of the action is in the private sector. SpaceX and Blue Origin, led by billionaires Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, respectively, are launching, landing, and reflying rockets, showcasing tech that could slash the cost of spaceflight enough to get us off this rock in a meaningful way for the first time ever. Musk wants to set up a million-person city on Mars. Bezos wants to get millions of people living and working in space, in so far unspecified locations that presumably do not include the surface of the sun, the interiors of black holes, or the kitchens of Romulan warships. A number of companies aim to start mining asteroids and the moon in the next few years. And we're already manufacturing stuff off Earth, using machines launched to the International Space Station. 1,000 years in the future, looking back, people will see this as the inflection point, where we did transition to a multi-world and spacefaring civilization, said Bob Richards, the CEO of Moon Express, a company that aims to provide robotic transportation services to the lunar surface and mine the moon and a number of other bodies throughout the solar system. There's a lot going on out there, and a lot out there to see. In this book, we're going to take a little tour of the great beyond, asking some pertinent and some impertinent questions about E.T. Does he or she actually exist? If so, why so shy? Do aliens have sex? And we'll touch on humanity's push for another giant leap. Will we colonize Mars? Can we go interstellar? Could we really travel back in time and stab Hitler in the neck with an awl? Enough of the preliminary chatter. Let's get started. Part 1. What's out there? Chapter 1. Where is everybody?